Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This lawyer sounds a lot like lawyers of our own day. Lawyers are always questioning, always looking for loopholes, always testing things and prodding them with their words. Lawyers are experts. In fact, they're paid to be experts at verbal sparring matches. They use words to maneuver things into just the right spot. And in this interaction with Jesus, things are no different. This lawyer comes along and he tries to ask Jesus the right question. Why? He's looking for a very specific answer. And so again, his question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gives him an answer. In fact, he gives him a straight answer. What should you do? Well, if you're looking for the do's and don'ts, God has already given you that. If you're looking for yourself to do something, what are you going to look at? What is written in the law? How do you read it? Well, today we had very good law, didn't we, in Leviticus? We heard about all of the things that God expects of his people. Leviticus instructed God's people to care for the poor, care for the sojourner, care for the blind, care for the lame. God's people are not to steal. They shouldn't scheme to take advantage of someone else in business dealings. Don't lie, don't hold grudges, don't get even, and don't hate. And there are some other things sprinkled in there too, right? We can't list them all. But the truth is that it's really not that hard for us. I mean, this isn't really a big stretch. God isn't asking us to do anything astronomical here. Essentially, what he's expecting is that his people will just be decent people toward one another. That sounds pretty good to me. But this isn't a secret, right? We know the law well. We all know what we should do. We all know how we should act, how we should think, how we should speak. We all know that we should be just like the Samaritan from Jesus' parable today. It's no secret. And so what happens? The lawyer answers correctly. Because he knows what he should do just as well as you do. But because this lawyer knows so well, really, he should have known better. You should have known better. Because the question's been wrong from the start. What should I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you know, the only way for us to gain an inheritance is to do nothing. In order for us to receive an inheritance, it means that somebody else has to die. Somebody else has to grant you that inheritance. You never seize an inheritance for yourself. That's called murder. We don't do that either, right? And so what this lawyer tries to do, in fact, what we try to do, is we try to turn this parable into something it's not. We like to say, okay, well, what's the moral of the parable? We're always looking for a moral. The moral of the parable must be, we should be like the Good Samaritan. We should care for our neighbor. And if that's what you're thinking, you are literally this lawyer. You're so focused on what you should be doing, and you miss the point entirely. The problem is that we have the wrong intentions. Our intentions are totally wrong. Just like this lawyer, we want to use the law to justify ourselves. God, give me the do's and don'ts. That way I can be seen as somebody righteous in your sight. Well, I hate to break it to you, but nobody is righteous in God's sight. It doesn't matter if you've been the most holy person in the entire world or the most despicable person in the entire world. Everybody has sin living in their hearts. Everyone is born with it. That's what God sees when you trust in the law. He sees your sin. He sees how much you have utterly failed to do those things that we all know we should. And so what we do, just like good lawyers that we are, is we try to find a loophole. Can I prod the law over here? Can I poke the law here? Can I ask the right questions or portray myself in the right way? That way I can be seen as good. And it doesn't work. The law doesn't bend. The law doesn't break. And there are no loopholes. And so if you're going to try to justify yourself by the law, there are two options for you. You can either start to make excuses for yourself. Well, I've been pretty good. I'm better than that guy. Or, you know, anybody would have done the same thing in my circumstance. Or, recognizing that you cannot beat the law, you enter into despair. And you realize that on your own, there is no hope. And so Jesus is telling this Good Samaritan for the sake of this lawyer. And he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan for your sake. It's not a nice story on how you should act. It's a story about all the ways that you've failed. Everybody always wants to find themselves in the parable. Do you know who you are in the parable? You're the Levite. You're the priest. You're the one who sees their neighbor in need and you walk right on by. Because you haven't been a good neighbor. At least not a perfect one. Sure, you know, okay, let's play devil's advocate. We might be willing to help our neighbor out, right? I might be able to serve some of my neighbor's needs. That is, if it's not too inconvenient. But you know, I already had something planned this afternoon, and so maybe my neighbor will need my help still tomorrow. We have no problem offering our time and our energy and everything that we have as long as we don't already have another use for it. For our resources, I'm perfectly fine offering my neighbor my resources, that is, except there was something I really wanted for myself that I won't get if I help my neighbor in need. In the end, we're just passing on by. And sometimes our neighbor needs a lot of help. So this is why Jesus tells the parable. He wants the lawyer, he wants you to see yourself in the Levite. And so if you're feeling small by all of the times that you have sort of passed by your neighbor or considered yourself first and everybody else second, if you feel bad about it, it means the parable is working. And at the end of the parable, Jesus has a question for the lawyer now. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor? And again, we hear the correct answer. The one who showed mercy. Jesus is the one who shows mercy. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. In fact, he is the only one who has been selflessly and perfectly a Good Samaritan. In all the ways that we fail, Jesus succeeds. In all of the times that we haven't done what we knew we should have, Jesus does. He is the Good Samaritan for you. And he's the Good Samaritan for this lawyer too. The truth is that if we see ourselves in the person of the Levite and the priest and it makes us feel so small, it means that we're actually not like this Levite or priest either. The person we really end up being like is the man who's left half dead in the ditch. Because our sin literally beats us and robs us and strips us and leaves us half dead on the side of the road. And what can we do about it? Look to the Levite who passes by, the priest who offers no help. But here comes the Good Samaritan. Here comes Jesus. He sees the state of your humanity. He sees how utterly beaten and robbed you are by your sin, and he doesn't leave you to die. He pours on the oil and wine that offers you healing. He puts you into his own position, and he leads you to a point of safety. And he does it through some means that are kind of unexpected. He uses the preached word. He uses baptism, which, you know, once upon a time in the church, they used to do baptisms and anointing with oil at the same time. He gives you the body and blood in with and under bread and wine. He does it all so that you might know that even though you have not been perfect, even though you don't always do what you should, you are still forgiven. The Good Samaritan gives what this poor man who is about half dead, he doesn't deserve the Good Samaritan's mercy. He hasn't done anything to deserve anyone's mercy. Jesus does these things simply because he is our Savior. Simply because he couldn't stand to see us lying there in our state of humiliation. And so he does something. He comes to the earth. He sheds his blood. And he dies. He's not just half dead. All the way dead. 100% overcome by death. And yet not. Because 3 days later, he comes back to life. And it shows us that even in the midst of our own last hour, what can we trust in? The fact that God will have compassion, that God will have mercy, that God will save us even from death itself. Jesus pays for it all. He does it all. And he is the real answer to the lawyer's question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Nothing. Jesus has already accomplished it all. And the truth is that if you want to be a good neighbor, you first have to know the good neighbor. You first have to receive the mercy of Jesus Christ, and then you too can go out and show mercy to those in this world. My friends, when all questions have been asked and answered, when everything has been said and done, Jesus is there with the word of promise, the word that you need to hear. He himself has done everything needed for your salvation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.